All right, South East End Report, ladies and gentlemen. It is being sponsored by Edgewater, great restaurant, located on Montauk Highway, Hampton Bays, just east of the Shinnecock Canal, featuring everything. You have the candlelit tables. That's great. Great views. Great atmosphere. Great place to eat. Eaten there many a time. The great Edgewater restaurant. Mr. Robert DePiro. Sir, how are you on this Friday?
Jay, we got a former Jet quarterback who is tearing it up, huh?
Yeah, I said earlier, it's amazing when you actually supply a quarterback with the right personnel, what he can do for you. You know, Sam Darnold, no slouch. No slouch at all when he played for USC. I mean, that's why you get picked as the third individual in an NFL draft. I mean, the kid was, what, 22, 21, 22? I mean, you got to supply a quarterback with weapons. Carolina has plenty of weapons. Jets never had a weapon. They were always injured and everything else. Now, listen, I'm not saying he was like Tom Brady, but, you know, look what he's doing in Carolina right now. I'm happy for him. I hope they go 16-1, to be honest with you. Because I tell you one thing, all eyes on Zach Wilson in Denver this weekend after last week for the four interceptions and everything else. Wow. Not a good start as far as comparisons and everything else. But, Donald looked great last night. Ran for a couple of scores. Really did. He looked good. Looked good. Happy for him because yep. he was under the scope. I mean, you know, you play in New York, you get scrutinized 20 times more than anywhere else in the country. You know that. But in any event, we'll see. Tough task for the Jets.
Former Jet weapon with him, too.
Yeah, exactly. Robbie Anderson, right? Robbie Anderson is a great receiver. Mm-hmm. Great receiver. All right, let's get into a couple of things, my friend. Where are we starting here? Why don't we go with this Yonge's Avenue deal? Some groundwater pollution. This is kind of a common occurrence at this point in time. More than 10 times the limit, Rob? Is that true?
Yeah, the Riverhead landfill site at Yonge's Avenue, Jay, 10 times the state limit, wide range of health mandates. What they discovered was more than 10% in the state drinking water. So an investigation is underway into the potential contamination of nearby wells. Just kind of remind you of the situation over at the Grumman facility in Calverton. Did it go beyond the area into neighboring homes? So they got sampling at the Riverhead landfill shows maximum current rates of PFOA and PFOS at 110 parts per trillion. And 49 for PFOS. The drinking water standards for the health is a 10. You got this thing at 49. The offsite drinking wells are down gradient of the landfill. Normally, this is going to be tested also for PFOS, which so far identified 15 private wells that are at risk. So you got numbers that they have to comply with, and it seems to be that they're over the numbers right now.
What's happening with Calverton? We saw what's going on in Wainscott. Very tough deal right now. Very tough deal with the water quality. Let's head to the Blue Point area tonight. A very special remembrance take place. Gabby Petito, nice, tremendous candlelight vigil. The town draped in teal. As far as the ribbons picked out by the mom that had matched Gabby's eyes, it's going to be quite a scene. I understand the candles, and by the way, and everything goes to the families, Petito Schmidt family, all the proceeds. And I understand they put everything on sale yesterday at 2, 20 minutes later, they were sold out of the candles. Everybody coming together from what I have witnessed here from reading and watching. Huh? That's something else.
Yeah, those candles were picked up yesterday between 2 and 6 p.m. at the Blue Point Nature Reserve. That's on Maple Street. All proceeds will be donated to Gabby's family. What will happen is, according to the Blue Point Fire Department, it'll be called a Shine a Light for Gabby. It asks community members to join and support the family and friends of Petito, called with a Night of Shining Light. So the organizers are seeking a $20 donation for a luminary that will be lit. This all kicks off at 7 p.m. And, again, this announcement of the candlelight remembrance comes as other public tributes continue to emerge around Petito's Blue Point home run. You mentioned the teal ribbons to the trees and the light poles. There's also a large poster of her posing in front of angel wings with the words Gabby Forever, Gabby Petito and Forever in our hearts. That's put at the intersection on the border of Bayport and Blue Point.
Tough one. Tough one indeed. Ongoing case, we know. It'll be a good scene. You know, somebody had asked me, what was it, last week, why such prominence in this kid? People get missing every day, and of course, you know, they bring up the race card and everything else. Guys, come on, stop. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons, you know. This young gal was so popular on social media. So many followers, and really kind of just highlighting her trip. You know, she was a video vlogger, and people were very attracted to her and every move she made, you know. Tough case. Really is. Very tough scene. 5,000 people in Blue Point, right? Population. Everybody knows everybody there. Back in the day, you know, back in the day in Rocky Point, you know, you go to 7-Eleven, you run into five, you can't help but run into five, six people, you know. That's what it is. That's what small towns and hamlets and villages are. And Blue Point's one of them, you know. So it'll be a great scene. Well, not a great, it's not for the great purposes of life, but it'll be a scene of remembrance beyond, no question.
According to Newsday, a family friend who said Petito used to babysit her son said, "We in Blue Point are all devastated. We're heartbroken, but we will rally around this family because that's what we do in this community."
And well, Alan does in general. Right. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Petito's fiance remains missing.
Yeah, missing somewhere. Somewhere. Hopefully they nab him. You got a warrant out now. So let's see what happens there. On to a couple other things. Lee Zeldin was on with me yesterday. We spoke about his illness. Revelation came out last week. It was shocking. I didn't know. Nobody knew, right? He gifted it. Listen, you're not going to come up with that. It's private stuff, but it came out. He's running for governor. Things are going to come out. He wanted to bring it out there. He is feeling great. He knocked it out of the park. And now you move on. But you got a clean bill of health, thank goodness. But a bit of an eye-opener, right? A little shock. I've known him a long time. There's, you know, a little shocking, but glad to hear the result there. Thank goodness, you know. But it is what it is. Go ahead.
Leukemia diagnosis. Myeloid leukemia discovered in November. But Zeldin says he expects to live a normal life. And the doctor says he currently has no evidence of the disease in his system. Health, the doctor says, is phenomenal, and he continues to operate at 110%. Of course, we know that he's the presumptive governor for nomination for governor by both New York and Republican parties. And he credits early treatment for the success. No side effects from the treatment.
Very important you get checked out. All facets of your body, no question about it. Rob DePiro, East End Report. A couple of things more, Rob. What's this two hometown hero banners had to be removed, replaced in Ravenhead? What was that all about?
Well, they're kind of wondering, you know, who it is. It seems, according to Riverhead Local, that it could well be the owner of the establishment that faces Roanoke Avenue. There's a longtime restaurant that is there. The banners went missing, and the owner of the restaurant did mention that a friend of his took it. According to Riverhead Local, Riverhead Local's implying that it was the owner of Tweeds who actually removed it. The owner, Ed Tuccio, says the banners do block the site of his restaurant, and these banners honor, you know, a couple of veterans. U.S. Army World War II veteran Wesley Braun, and U.S. Navy veteran Ronald G. Underwood, Jr. He also served in the Riverhead Police Department, by the way. So they were taken down, quote, by a friend at the owner's request. because they blocked the view of his restaurant, which he said hurt his business. And the poles, which they put them on, he wanted to decorate for Halloween.
All right.
Joe says he'd rather they... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so what's the alternative here? So what happened? Did the guy had to take his banners down? What was the letter?
Well, they were basically put back up.
They were put back up. Okay.
They went back up where they were. They were removed by someone, perhaps he. Now they've been replaced. Same spot. But right. He'd rather they be put up in empty stores.
All right.
He contacted the Business Improvement District Management Association and asked them to be put in front of another pole. But BIDMA President Steve Shauger says the BIDMA did not hear from him or anyone from Tweed.
That should be the worst thing. That should be the worst thing in life that happens to this individual. Two more for you. Is Riverhead, is it official? Are they going to host the first Oktoberfest? Is that what it is now, I heard?
Yeah, they're going to hold the first Oktoberfest tomorrow. It's going to be 4 to 8 p.m. On the Peconic Riverfront and in Grandville Park as well by the East End Tourism Alliance and Business Improvement District. It's going to feature local bands, wine tastings. The reflections will light up the park, Grandville Park. They'll be doing live music till 10 p.m. President of the East End Tourism Association, Brian DeLuca, says he's, quote, very happy to bring downtown Riverhead breweries together. It's going to be a lot put together from breweries. And they're going to have, alongside local artists, for the first event, he calls it a soulful experience in Grangeable Park.
They need it.
Kind of
cool
company. Good.
Now, I was going to say, you know, with the Polish Festival and everything else, just a short period of time. It's good to have something like this. Excellent to have something like this. So that's good news. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. The weather's going to be great, too. One more thing.
It's listed on the website of East End Gateway. Go ahead.
Yep. One thing, and a very important situation. We've been talking a little bit about this, kind of in and around. Well, two more things. Let's get to the scramble event is going to go on. I know there was some safety concern. A lot of people wondering regarding the scramble drag racing. What's the latest here, sir?
Yeah, it's about the concrete dividers. There was a small accident when you had racetrack, not street track, but they had all the correct barriers in place. So I guess the safety concerns were that there weren't all of the concrete barriers the same amount for scramble. So there's questions about safety protocols, complete lack of the barriers, and questions of safety. Although Bob Kozakiewicz said that races accept the risk when drag racing, he's responding to comments that Riverhead supervisor Yvette Aguiar received saying the event could result in serious injury or death. He called it quickly, basically speculative. He has approved all the event's current safety plan, so that will go on this weekend.
Excellent. Good. I'm glad to hear that. And the last thing I wanted to get to you was death by dealer. You know, Tom Kaminsky has kind of led the charge there. You know, you've got to incarcerate when you can. We've seen a couple of miscues, especially in Suffolk County and the East End, regarding those 9 overdoses, Rob, and those 6 deaths, overdose deaths. When you have an individual, I'm talking about Justin Case Smith, who will be emblazoned in my head because, you know, a guy who should have been behind boss was let out and only to help kill again. How? By dispersing the drugs with a fentanyl, and fentanyl kills. We know that. That's why laws like this are so, and it's not a partisan thing, okay? No partisan nonsense here. It's about everybody coming together for the sake of the people. And, you know, very important stuff. You shouldn't even bat an eyelash at this, okay? This is very important stuff to cement here, you know? and especially in our neck of the woods. We've seen the devastation and everything else, Rob.
Yeah, well, Suffolk District Attorney Tim Steeney did bring the manslaughter charges against the two men charged with the spate of deaths. I think it was in Greenport area about a month ago, right, connected to the sale of fentanyl-laced cocaine after recovering these incriminating text messages between one of the victims and a dealer. So,
well, again, you know, I'm going to bring up the story. When you have, and one of the people you're talking about is the Smith guy. Smith should have been locked up a long time ago before all this happened, okay? Before all this happened. They had him. Dead to rights. With two felonies. Dead to rights. And he slipped through the cracks. You can't have that. You cannot have that. And that's why it's so important to finish the job. I keep talking about this. Because it's very real stuff, folks. You know, this is real stuff. You know, timelines and everything else. I've been telling the story of Justin Smith forever, okay? You know, he was arrested in 95. Danny prosecuted Smith then. And he pled guilty. He remained in jail. I think it was 12 years. He got paroled. In 07, and the guy, once he gets out, you think he's real rehabilitated? Not the case. He was arrested in 07. Remember, 12 years, excuse me. Okay. He was arrested in 07 and charged with a felony. And I'm talking about narcotics with the intent to sell. He pled guilty. He got a 3-year sentence of incarceration. Okay. And I say that again. Let me just go over this. The second felony conviction is important because it makes him a second offender of a felony, okay, under existing law here in the state. So what does that mean? If Smith is convicted of a third felony, guess what? Now you can seek a very heavy sentence, okay? And I'm talking up to and including a sentence of life, imprisonment. So fast forward, okay? You go back to October last year, where you had the task force, the East End Drug Task Force, they were able to make 4 separate felony drug buys involving Justin K. Smith. Any one of these buys from last year, Rob, if done properly by a DA, when I say done, indicted, okay? If you get that indictment, it would have been enough to charge this guy with a felony. And that third one would have been what? Yes. Life in prison. Guess what? No indictment. So that's what makes this thing so troubling. And you go back to February of this year, a full 6 months before those 6 victims on the East End lost their lives, where you had a search warrant that was executed at the residence controlled by Smith and recovered amounts of cocaine like you wouldn't believe, felony amounts of cocaine, crack, fentanyl. What did the DA do? Nothing. No indictment. This is why we got to figure something out here. When you got the goods on somebody, folks, and you don't indict, this is what happens, okay? Now, I'm going off a little bit on a tangent here, but the Kaminsky deal regarding dealer by death, very important stuff. So I didn't mean to do that, but I wanted to just kind of go over that timeline. Very important stuff, folks. Very important stuff. I can't reiterate that more. Rob's report, right? That's really what it's all about. Rob's report brought...
You covered the whole story.
There you go. I mean, Rob, again, you know, it's lack of judgment here. I can't figure out if you're a DA... and you don't do what you're supposed to do. I can't figure that out. I don't know why. You're there to protect the very people of Suffolk County. Okay? You put these guys away. You put them away for the purpose of keeping everybody safe. And he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Rob's report, sponsored by the Edgewater Restaurant, located on Montauk Highway, Hampton Bays, just east of the canal. That's right, Shinnecock. Everything there, folks. Like, I love candlelit tables. Great views, open atmosphere. I love the Edgewater restaurant. Robert, good stuff. Great stuff today, my friend. You take care. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk.
Let's look for a giant win sooner or later, huh?
Ah, please. 0-3 for both. I mean, listen, if you're the Giants and you can't beat the Atlanta Falcons on your home turf, you know what? I'm done with, well, I've been done with Dave Gettleman for a long time. Gettleman's got to go. He's got to go anyway at the end of the season. I had enough of him, general manager. We'll see what happens. We'll pray and watch. We'll talk next week, buddy. Have a good one, all right? Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir.